All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dome Podcast. All right, we're back. Man, whew. This season's been a whirlwind. I've been trying to catch as much hockey as I can, but I have been busy. And I mean, as we've discussed, I'm not necessarily prioritizing my life around this bullshit.
You're not? Why not? It's Huberto's must-see well, hockey right now.
I gotta say, like, the hockey has been fucking entertaining, though. Eh? We've discussed this. I can't actually sit. It's impossible for me to hope that they lose. I just can't do it. I even bet against the other team, and I still cheer for the Flames when I'm watching. So even though that's impossible, sorry if I'm drinking tea. I'm a tea drinker now.
I'm drinking coffee like a real man. So
if you coffee at what time is it there? 9:28. Decaf though.
Decaf.
I've never tried decaf. I only started drinking coffee 6 years ago when my first son was born. I'm new at this. I've never ventured into decaf. What's it like?
It's great. It's just like coffee, except it keep you awake.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. The real draw for coffee for me is the caffeine high.
We watch Twin Peaks. The guy loves coffee. That's me, Dale Cooper. Damn good coffee.
Anyways, Sharon Govich is on a fucking tear right now.
Yeah, I like how he timed it right in conjunction with me ripping the Toffoli trade. That was nice.
Like, literally, the week after. He goes on a tear.
I think it was like the day after.
For the whole week.
Yeah, it's great.
2 weeks.
My direct messages have been super pleasant lately.
Fucking idiot. What are you so stupid for?
Actually, no, everybody's been pretty good. Except it is funny sometimes. You just like really piss people. People really get pissed off on the internet, man. We had like one message this week.
You know what DM I'd love to get?
Yeah.
How good Huberto is. Love to get that one.
I feel like we still get some that are like, oh, no, lay off. You still got it. He's still going to be good.
No, the latest one I'm seeing is dead horse. You're beating a dead horse.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Well, I'm watching the same shit and he's getting worse.
He's the dead horse.
So what?
Well, exactly. Here's why everyone keeps talking.
If only He were the dead horse.
Here's why we keep talking about it, because despite every, this is what just I keeps blowing my mind, because you know, like, they've actually played some really good hockey the last little bit here. I don't know if really good is the word, but
well,
you
know, entertaining,
showing some heart, entertaining. And it's just like night after night, like, okay, like they lose by one goal against the Avs. They lose by one goal against Vegas. Like, these are
they're in those
good
games.
Teams. They're in the
games.
They yeah. lost to Vancouver by one goal a couple weeks ago. You know, it's like, fuck, if we had a guy who could, like, this is actually not even a bad team after all of this. And if they had a game breaker who was even like a 60 to 70 point game breaker, this team would probably be in the playoff mix and would probably be like a mid-level contender in the playoff mix.
Imagine if you could go out and get a 10.5 mil guy right now.
Yeah. How good would they be? That's just what always boggles my mind, because again, for how much we talk about how mediocre this team is and how much we just want them to rebuild, it's like, if he was playing even to like half of what he's supposed to be, this team would be really good. It's insane.
I is it James Johnson?
I believe it's James. Twitter? Yes.
I believe it's James Johnson. I don't know. Like, I don't know what tweet he. I think it was the one of the last Huberto tweets. There's too many. There's too many. Yeah, exactly. There's too many Huberto tweets on a daily. The stats are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just like you keep finding stuff that's just like, holy shit.
But yeah, James Johnson's he's like only whatever. How many days left?
2,780 something
so
like that.
What we need is we need a ticker at the dome. What's her name? Barb. Is it the name Barb behind the bench? She's just hold it up. Only 2,400 for each game. Just an update. And then nobody just, you know, let the fucking players figure it out for themselves.
Well, it's crazy to think of how long it's going to last, because I remember, like, when we got Lucic, I was like, holy shit.
Oh, my God, dude.
There's, what was it, 5 years left at that time? I was like, 5 years? How are we going to do this? And it felt like that was a long 5 years. When it ended, it was like remember, we were like, okay, thank God it's over. Like, this is going to be a long, long, long ass 8 years.
The difference is with Lucic, we were expecting the worst. And,
yeah,
you know, he might have exceeded expectations a tad bit.
Yeah, a little bit there.
But with Huberto, you know, it's complete opposite. As of today, I mean, you posted this today on Twitter or Instagram. Huberto threw 32 games last season compared to this season. So this point last season compared to this point this season. Last season he had 6 goals. This season he's got 4. Mind you, this is after, don't worry, swept it all under the rug. It was all Daryl's fault. The big meanie just destroyed this guy. This is going to be the greatest comeback season of all fucking time. He's blowing balloons in the off season.
What you else haven't seen nothing yet.
He's probably got a spinning top on his head. He's doing the whole, like, you know, balancing dishes and, you know, just the circus act. That's how they work out these days.
I saw a good tweet that was like, that was a threat, essentially, right? Like, you haven't seen nothing yet. Like, he was warning us that, like, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I can't remember who that guy is. Said that, like, I didn't realize this was a threat. You haven't seen nothing yet. Trust me.
Trust me, I can be way worse.
At this point, last season, 6 goals in 32 games. At this point, this season, 4 goals in 32 games. At this point, in last season, 12 primary assists. At this point, this season, 6 primary assists. This point, last season, 24 points. At this point, this season, 15 points.
So bad. Like, he had almost as many primary assists through 32 games as he does points this year.
At 5-on-5, your Corsi or goals for percentage last year, over 50%, thank God, 59.73.
It was almost 60%.
Jeez, was Daryl really the problem? This year, 42.23.
Oh, my Lord.
Just atrocious. Last year, expected goals was over 50, so 53.07. This year, 48.75. Plus 5 goal differential at this point last season, -6 goal differential. The expected goal differential last year was +2.02. This year, -0.49. So, dude, he's gotten markedly worse.
Well, I think at one point,
how many times have we said, well, at least he can't get any worse? He's gotten worse.
And like, I think prior to this, like nine game pointless streak, by the way, nine games. God. I think we were saying, like, yeah, maybe he's kind of coming around. He's making some plays.
Well, he's showing signs. Yeah. Nope. Backlund and Coleman are going to get him going here.
Nope. He sure isn't.
So he is now officially first time in his career, a below replacement level player.
Well, and what's crazy is like,
which by mind you, these guys are a dime a fucking dozen. You want a below replacement level player?
They're all over the place.
They're going to cost you $800,000. That's it. League min. Not fucking $10.5 million. Basically, what percentage of the entire salary is this?
Like, what is it? 10, 8 per, what's the cap at? 80 million? It's like 10. It's an insane amount.
It's insane. How can you? There is no, you can't. This, the horse isn't dead. There is no dead horse. We're going to beat the living hell out of this.
It's like 12, almost 13% of the salary cap.
Until the contract is dead, there is no dead horse. Or the player.
And it's just crazy to watch him be like, what is he, 11th in team scoring? 11th on the team in scoring, and has the worst plus minus and the second worst like 5-on-5 goal differential. So dude, like, you're not putting up points. You're probably the only player I've ever seen in my life who's been able to drag a backline line down defensively.
Electing to pass when you have a wide open fucking net from two feet from the goalie.
Okay, so what game was this? Was this the Carolina game or was this the New Jersey game? Because it's been a while since. I think it was the New Jersey game. So, yeah, he gets there's a rebound that comes to him. And everybody's probably seen the screenshot or the play. And he literally has an absolute gaping net.
Within like 3 feet.
It's wide open. And he misses, right? And like all the tweets were like, oh man, like people showing the replay. It's like, man, Huberto misses a wide open net. Holy cow. Like pretty bad. I watched that play probably 50 times. He 100,000,000% was trying to pass the puck.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's just wild to watch him do that.
It's like the Coleman missing on the wide open net or the empty net. It's like you believe the opposite because
like, oh, he got tripped.
It's kind of like this whole theory of, you know, people don't believe, you know, the government could ever do anything bad to us. They don't believe that, you know, there's actual children locked up in places and there's pedophiles in this world
just
because
take care
they
of
just,
us.
They can't believe, well, just period, that evil exists in this world. Yeah. People just don't believe it because it's just so far out of reality that it's just like, how could that be possible? No way that's possible. Same thing. Just like, there's no way he tried to pass. Like, he just missed the wide open net. There's no way Coleman fucking missed. He got tripped. But you're right. I started watching that over and over again too. It's like, dude, the guy was passing.
He puts it right in a laser, like in a parallel to the goal line. It was nowhere near being a shot attempt. It was a pass.
Didn't you text me he did it against the Knights?
Yeah, so he did that. Well, what was the next game? He did it the exact same thing. It was on the power play, I think. He's got a wide open net again, and he just whips it up another pass.
I don't understand, A, the player, B, the coaching, C, the support staff, D, where's the fucking sports psychologist? Like, we've been talking about this. This guy needs to simplify the game. He should have a rule for himself. He's got to shoot the puck 100 more times before he passes it in the defensive zone again.
And again, not to beat this dead horse, but that's what Darryl was trying to get him to do last year when he was struggling. Like, shoot.
Oh, yeah, he resisted. Shoot it. It's because of him.
Shoot the fucking puck, dude. Like, that's how. And
you can't pass these little spin around backhands. Anyways, we don't have to fucking harp on it, but there's no way we can stop talking about it. It's the biggest fucking problem in this franchise currently. You want us to just ignore it?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, well.
Give him some more time. He needs more time. Yeah. Just needs another 82 games. Yeah. People are like, lay off. Till when? And why?
Until it's year like 5 or 6 and he's putting up 10 points a year.
It's like the power play. No one, it's like you text me after whatever game that was last week.
Which one? Like, they've got like one goal in the last 10 games.
You're like, I like how you just they just don't score power play goals ever, period. Yeah. And it's like that is the reality that everybody's accepted. Why do we have to accept this shit? Why isn't there a massive, humongous pushback? I heard, hey, last game was it the Panthers or the it was Panthers game?
Yeah.
People are booing on the power play now in the dome. Oh, might as well.
Because it's so bad. It's so like, bad that they have almost as many shorthanded goals as they do power play goals this year.
You sent me the stat.
Five on four, they have 9 power play goals. Four, the penalty kill, 4v5, they have 7. And they might have 8 because I think Coleman's empty netter, so they have like 1 less. That's insane.
They've scored 1 more goal with the man advantage this year than they have shorthanded. That's fucking ridiculous, dude. And it is no great feat of the. I'm sure they're at the tops of the leagues for goals scored shorthanded.
I think they're like second.
It's the power play. It's fucking atrocious. So yes, if you're listening and you go to the games, make it a thing. I don't understand why we have to accept mediocrity.
Well, that's like kind of one of these main. That's kind of one of the main like psychoses of a lot of Flames fans.
They're human. They're humans.
Guys. Yeah,
so am I.
If I was doing this bad at my job.
Yeah, what was it? I don't know. I posted that stat and someone's like, I just changed channel now and they fucking get
it. Oh, well, it's too infuriating.
And then I retweet, I'm like, this is just anger management. Like, there's nothing wrong with this. Like, this is what you do.
Of course. Like, what else can you do? Smash your TV into a million pieces?
It's so bad that nobody expects them to do dick fucking all when they get to the man advantage.
In all 3 games they lost, well, I think they got a power play goal in Minnesota, if I recall correctly. Igor had an absolute rocket.
It's looked better now that 10's off it.
It looked almost instantly better as soon as he... I think they scored a goal when they first took him off.
So how many games has he been off it? Do you know?
I know for sure he was off it in the Minnesota game.
Okay, so it's been 3 games then.
I think it might have been earlier than that though.
And they got Zari on there now. Like, yeah, because he had him on
PP2. Yeah, of course they got Zari on there now because he's been great.
Zari is your best player. Hands down your best player.
Not even close. But yeah, it looks so much better when you don't have numbnuts freaking throwing pizzas in the offensive zone to no one for some reason.
You know, we talk about all these stats comparing himself, all the analytics, all the metrics. Yeah. The guy is a negative impact. Your most highest paid, get this, your highest paid player in franchise history. When he goes on the ice, he makes your team legitimately worse. And it's not even an exaggeration. Legit, you're worse with him on your roster. On a night-to-night basis, he gives the other team more than he gives you. He's a black hole.
It's bad.
And he's a fucking anchor of a contract. Dude, is he worse than Milan Lucic?
I think so. Probably.
And like not even joking. This is how bad this is.
I think in Lucic's first year with the Flames, he had like 20 points. He had like 8 goals. So that's over like 68 games because that was the COVID year. Then he had consecutive years of 10 goals. So, I mean, in terms of goal scoring, yeah, Huberto's right there.
So you get about as much offensively without any fucking toughness. What do you think at this point? Like,
I don't know. It's the most mind-bending thing I've ever seen in my life.
We've already talked about what we think he needs.
Well, I'd put him with some kids. Like,
yes.
I guess you're going to have to figure this out, right? Because that's another reason why we keep talking about it, because it's year 1 of 8. and nobody is trading for that contract ever, and you can't buy it out unless in the new CBA there's some sort of provision where there's like a compliance buyout. But you're gonna have to figure this out in some way. So I would just stick him with some kids. Coronado played one game and then they sent him back down, which I think is when I have to watch Dubé and Rozicka skate around. I think that's kind of annoying.
I go through entire games and I'm like, is Dubé playing? Oh yeah. Once you're like, is he playing? Oh yeah, there he is. You notice him where you're like, so you don't actually have to watch Dubé do anything. Yeah. You never fucking notice the guy.
Rozicka scared of his own breath and shadow. Terrified out there half the time.
He's struggling without Daryl.
Oh yeah, for sure. Accountability gone. He's just like, I'm just cruising, man. And I thought Coronado looked good, and he hit the post in the game he came up with. He gives them exactly what they need, which is a shot threat on that piece of shit power play. I get to see him play. Like, if you, for Huberto's sake, I think you, I don't know, like, I don't think playing with Backlund and Coleman is the answer Pelche anymore.
Like, it
still Pelche, hurts.
Did he fucking lose his arm in an accident? Like, what, like, the surgery not go well?
Like, and the thing that Huberto's doing, I think, the most is like, and Coleman's been playing great, but it's like that line's supposed to be your dominant 5-on-5 line, and it's being like neutered by this guy who just does jack shit other than give the puck away. So, I don't know. I think in an ideal world, I'd like to see him play with. I know Zary's been rolling with Kadri, and I think he's really helped those guys with how he plays and how he communicates. But I think eventually I'd like to see Zary need to put Huberto with someone with some skill if he's ever going to succeed. Holy shit.
Dude, it's just so sad when you watch him play.
It's insane. It's
all
just
he
like,
does is, all he does is turn the puck over.
It's mind-blowing because like for how many games? Like what? He's 100, well over 100 games now. It's just like every time he gets the puck on his stick, I'm like, okay, is this like the shift where he's finally going to fucking do something? Nope. Gives it
more,
away.
Yeah, more giveaways.
It's just like, still can't believe it.
Where is he league-wide giveaways? I know he leads the team.
I don't know, he's probably right up there. Let's take a look.
Oh, man. But if you're Huska, what, are you going to sock him away on the fourth line? Like, what are their options?
What other options do you have right now? Like,
he doesn't play with – drive him with Lindholm and Manje Bonny.
He's played with every single player on this team and hasn't been able to make it.
So what?
Other than, like, maybe
– now you have to break up your only good line to try and get this fucking – this – 10.5 million player going to get him beyond a pace of what is it? 30, 20 points? That pace where?
38.
Man, that is so low. Like, what do you even do?
It's crazy.
What is he even doing out there? Nothing. Then you got him to shootouts?
Shootout? Are you fucking kidding me, dude? Have you seen these pathetic shootout attempts?
Guy can't hit a fucking wide open net from 3 feet away. You're going to put him in the shootout?
Game on his stakeout.
I'm surprised he's not trying to pass it.
Probably is. Passing. That's why he should never be in the shootout, because he can only pass. He's top 20 in giveaways, which is like, Kadri has more than him now after the last game. But I mean, like, giveaways is like usually a stat where it's like guys who have the puck a lot, right? So like the guys who do have the puck a lot, but are also scoring goals, like the top 20 guys in giveaways are like Kucherov, Barzal, Draisaitl, MacKinnon, McDavid, Jack Hughes, Pastrnak, Kaprizov, Marchand.
Yeah, I would like to see a
giveaway. But all of these guys have a ratio over a point per games and like way more puck touches than Huberto's getting right now.
There's got to be a ratio of like,
well, touches to giveaways. It's like
exactly 90%. He's like one for one.
Yeah.
Does he ever not give it away?
It's very high. It's very rare. So, sure, maybe we're beating a dead horse, but you know what? We're in year one of eight of this, and
yes,
yeah, when the team would be a contender if he was doing anything, it's kind of annoying.
And it's just like, okay, so you don't talk about it until when?
Yeah,
we're just not supposed to talk about it. It's just that's where it's like same thing with the power play. Oh, it's okay now. We don't really need to score power play goals. We'll try to win other ways. No. Fucking fix the issue. I like No, it's not okay. Well, they we're how many games in the season?
Well, over a third of the way in.
Yeah, this guy's not having a comeback season.
We're almost halfway through. 10 games till half.
And so if you're Huska, man, I don't know.
I don't know what card you play left. It's like you did, you benched him, nothing.
Just sat there looking at a stick.
Yeah.
Cried afterwards. Got the media to do, you know,
feel sorry for stories. Oh, I felt bad for him. I didn't.
Sympathy. Just trying to get sympathy for sucking so bad.
Yeah, you're left with, like, I think your original suggestion at the beginning of the year, get this man Tony Robbins right now. That's what Murray Edwards should be spending all his money on.
That's the only thing that's going to work. How would he spend his own fucking money on it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
At what point do you have to start paying the team back? Someone posted his...
no shit, eh?
Someone posted his contract. And he's like, they're like, too bad those signing bonuses weren't fucking performance bonuses.
Too bad Brad just set up a booby trap contract for the whole team.
There's no way this is a case of I got paid and I'm out.
No.
No one does that. Like, you're not a pro when you...
And even if you do that to an extent, you're still...
You have some pride.
You have pride and you have enough talent where it's like, you know, even if you weren't trying your hardest, you're still going to be a good player.
So, like, we can't let up. This is unacceptable. Someone's got to hold him accountable.
Well.
The fans have to do it. He can't hold himself accountable.
You know who was holding him accountable?
Coach can't hold him accountable. He gets fired.
Yeah.
Or so the organization doesn't hold him accountable. Apparently, they can't get him Tony Robbins. So you have to break up your best current line and put your best player with him in the hopes that he gets going.
I don't know what you do anymore other than just start sitting.
Couldn't he just start shooting the puck? Like, if I'm Huberto, if I'm the coach, if I'm the organization, I'm the management, I'm saying, Huberto, don't pass. Until, like, the broadcast gets it. Fucking, Ryan, what's his name?
Greg Francis. Moon? Oh, yeah, Francis. Eric Francis even knows.
Francis even knows. They're throwing up stats of when Huberto shoots, when he has higher shot volume per game, his point production goes up. Direct correlation.
Yeah, no shit.
Are you trying to pass every single time? I don't even care if you don't even have a shot. Like, this guy, his MO, if I'm management, I'm saying, dude, just shoot. I don't want to see one more pass in the O zone until you've shot it 100 times on the net. That'll get his game going around.
Here's a good, so Jay Fresh Hockey, we've had him on the show before. He posted a good thing, just some of the micro stats he tracks, just showing Hubert, because like, this is the thing that, I think we were talking about, like, when he first got here, was like he's got an underrated shot. I think we were talking about this in, like, the context of Daryl's system too. We're like, yeah, I think he's going to be good goal scorer because the guy shoots a lot and he's got a really underrated shot. He probably passes too much.
The five times I've seen him shoot on net and score, yeah, he can snipe.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, hey, this is going to be like a Tanguay type guy who's like, he can snipe when he shoots. But he's gone from, like, if you look at his shot and pass metrics, he's gone from, like, what he was in Florida to being, like, a dual threat player to where he was last year, where, like, the only thing he did was pass. He passed way too much. And now he's, like, in the lower quadrant of he doesn't pass, his passes don't work, and he doesn't shoot. He's neither.
His passes do nothing.
His passes are to the other team. Yeah. So it's just, like, it's insane, like, that's happened.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I guess try him with Zari and Pospisil. Like, at what point, though, is it on the onus? Like, oh, man, I don't know. This is a real tough one, dude.
It's insane. It's insane that it just keeps getting worse and nothing seems to result. It's just, it's super weird. Like, I don't think anyone has an answer for this.
We haven't even seen rock bottom yet.
No.
He's worse.
We're getting pretty, and
like, not even like a bit worse. He's
like markedly way worse.
He's markedly worse than he was last season. That's a big problem. 10.5 mil. And your team is 3 points out of a wild card spot? How?
How is right?
You have fucking 9 power play goals. And how many attempts?
9 power play goals. Your best play, your top paid player has 4 goals this year. And you're 3 points out of a playoff spot. What? Hockey is wild. And you're being carried by a 22-year-old and Blake Coleman and a hot Igor Sharangovich. It's crazy.
Does he look good?
He was good this week.
Igor has been on a fucking tear. He reminds me of Jason Robinson. I don't know if you see this, but he's got
that skinny frame that's like, how are you a hockey player?
Exactly, but he's got the size in the size of the frame. He's not slow. He's got quick hands. He thinks quick. And that enables him to get a shot off in dangerous areas at dangerous times. And fuck, he can put it away.
If we see that Sharangovich, that's great.
What's he on pace for?
He's on pace for like 27 goals, maybe. What's he got, 11 right now?
So he was off to a bit of a slow start. Again, like, no one's going to hit 30 goals if you score 9 power play goals this season. So,
well, does he have 2 shorties this year? He's got 1 for sure, I know. Him and Coleman have a nice little connection.
And I asked you this, like, what do you think has been the shift? Is he just kind of finding his pace, or is he actually benefiting from playing with Mangiapane?
Well, you know what? Like, if somebody,
and I know Mangiapane has been getting shit on, and you put a little story out there, just telling everybody to slow their roll on the shitting on Mangiapane.
Well, he does need to be better, though. He's right there with Huberto on pace for like 40 fucking points. Like, score some goals, dude. Put the puck in the net. We're losing by 1 goal here, and we're 3 points out of a playoff spot. Could you maybe contribute a little bit? But yeah, we'll talk about Igor first, then Munch. But like, I think, I don't know. The thing with Igor is like, I'm still kind of like on the fence. Like, I know, again, like, great timing for me to rip the Toffoli trade and be like, oh, Sharangovich has sucked. And then he goes on a heater and everyone's like, you fucking idiot. But I mean, like, he hadn't been very good up until that point. I still think like his on-ice impact has been not great. Like, you know, you look at some of his numbers, he's team worst in 5-on-5 goal differential. Play driving hasn't been there. I think his expected goals for is like way down there. He might be worst on the team in terms of forwards. So, I mean, I think there's valid reasons for me to be like, yeah, he hasn't been good. But I think, you know, what you're kind of looking at is like, is he going to be a player who comes here and pops off? Or is he going to be like, kind of what my other concern was, is he going to be like a Dubé type guy who like he kind of has been throughout his career, scored some goals, showed some promise, but hasn't really been able to nail down a role. He's like 24, 25. So what way is he going to go? Is he going to continue to play like this more consistently, where he is a guy who can make a difference?
I think he will.
With his skill, or is he going to be like Dubé, where it's like he's had a showed a flash and then disappears into the ether? So I think the next part of it will be, hey, can he do this consistently? Because he's getting to the age where he should be doing that if he's going to be a difference maker in the NHL. So
I don't know, man. I think he will. I think what I've seen from him, there's nothing I can really pinpoint it, but given the size and the way he thinks and the way he can put it away, like, Dubé's different. He doesn't have the same size, and
he doesn't have the same brain.
No, Dubé mostly relies on, you know, his agility and foot speed, which I wish I would fucking see more of. Like,
and that fitness.
That fitness, baby. I think he uses that
fitness to lets him skate circles all night in pointless circles.
Yeah, he uses that to get into positions where he can snipe. But Sharangovich is a little more crafty. Like, I don't know, man. From what I've seen and just the torrid pace he's on right now, like, fuck, he knows how to score.
Yeah, if he could play with Ray Lyman, for sure.
One thing we're not seeing, you know, in his statistics is how many shootout goals he's scored. They don't count those, so they're not tacked on there. But, dude, One player on the Calgary Flames has scored in the shootout this year. The list is one. And fuck, he seems to go fucking score every time.
Boy, he's got some good moves, eh? He's got that like whipping wrister, that backhand move.
He's got a finishing ability that I have not seen in Dubé.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's, for me, the difference. I just feel like he's kind of Conroy's protege now. You know, Brad has his guys. This will be Conroy's guy. This was his first deal. And is looking good right now. Didn't look good two weeks ago. But I don't know, man. I just feel like just the way he scores goals tells me he knows how to score goals. So if he can be in a position, in a situation, the organization can put him in a role, I think he's actually legit.
Yeah, I hope so, because it should be nice to be on the opposite side of one of these where, hey, we get a guy who pops instead of like sending all of our guys to places and then they pop off. That'd be a nice change of pace.
Yep. I mean, obviously, the first guy you think about is Bennett. But, you know, I think of Bennett and then I think of Matthew Tkachuk. They just come to town. They come back for their little homecoming. Tkachuk's still getting the booze. I like it. I'm at a point now where, yeah, fuck you. Still my favorite player, but
still love watching him play.
Yeah, that was awesome when he was.
He was really, like, I know his points haven't been there this year. They've been I have him on my fantasy team, so I know this. He's been fucking terrible in terms of point production. He's on pace for like 50 points or something.
Yeah, like coming off a playoff injury and, you know, after you're on pace for winning the Conn Smythe. Oh, what's your excuse, Huberto?
Yeah. A broken sternum that almost killed him. Like, but I mean, dude, like you watch him, his stats after the game, he like led all players in hiding. Dude, he was on the ice. He was just as effective as he's always been. Doing, he's so good.
Yeah, he was doing his Chucky thing down below. He'll dominate you.
They had that one shift in the Flames zone where it was just like, holy fuck, is this guy good?
And then even the power play, he got his point, and it was awesome. He was in Huberto's grill. So don't worry, I'll win this fan base back. Yeah, kick his ass. Hey, everybody's probably.
Oh yeah, we cheer for
Chuck. Was gonna kick his ass. I was.
Wake him up a bit.
Slap him around. But yeah, you start to hear the boos on the power play. I guess you can't boo Huberto. That's a little harsh, but
I don't know. They're booing Kyrou in St. Louis. Are we too nice?
Well, I think that's over now. He went out the next game
because he went out and had a good game.
Yeah. What a concept. Use something negative, turn it into a positive.
We're just like, you'll get him next game, Hubie. We're like 110 games we'll get you next one.
Get you next season.
Just keep going.
Get you the next 10 years.
Anyways, I hope Igor keeps it up. That'd be sweet. I like the guy. When he was going this week, he was fun to watch.
He's bopping right now.
But I think, I think he probably has benefited from playing with Mangiapane because, and again, like, I'm not making excuses for Monge too, because, like, how many goals does he have? Like, freaking none. But yeah,
he's been fucking hard to find too.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's still doing Monge things.
Still like, working his bag driving off.
Play, working. I think he's still pretty high up there. I think he was like second or third in terms of high danger scoring chances on the team. So he's still doing his thing. Just, it'd be nice, you know, to see him actually score some fucking goals.
He'll probably start going off.
You'd
what
think
about,
so.
What about Lindholm? If Sharon Govich is going off, if Sharon Govich is going off at this rate, if fucking Lindholm could pick up his play, man, then Mangiapane might get going, too.
That's why I know, like, Mangin just been, like, carrying that line play-driving-wise, and Sharon Govich has been scoring the goals. Lindholm's just
He's reaping the rewards, yeah.
Yeah. Because, man, he has been high some points. He's picked up some points, but, boy, on a night-to-night basis. And, again, this isn't even about stats. Like, you watch the games, it's like, man, is that Lindholm out there? Sure doesn't look like it.
It's interesting, man.
He's like, team worst in, like, a bunch of different 5-on-5 stats, like expected goals. Horsey, he's down there. Like, he's been really bad.
Oh, he's been hard to watch. Totally.
And it's just like, I know he's not like mailing it in, but it's just kind of like uninspired hockey, man.
Dude, he's mailing it in. Come on. You've touched on this. Elliot Freeman is, hey, didn't we see in the last podcast? Maybe that's where Elliot's getting his information from, eh? Some people are saying Lindholm would be
Colorado.
Fit in Colorado. I mean, that's what we've been saying.
Some people.
Please stock up anybody in the West other than the Oilers. Do not trade him east. The Oilers will still make the playoffs, even though they lost three in a row. I like how they go on an eight-game heater. If you remove the eight-game heater, they're 5-15 and what?
Just 5-15 and 5 or something?
It's great. The Oilers fan base is now back on
the wagon.
Just falling apart again. So
as usual.
Hey, this always happens with them, though. Whenever they get a new coach, they go on a fucking heater. I think this knob gobbler. I think knob gobbler is like, is he not the worst coaching hire they've had?
Oh, he's brutal. He reminds me of Gulletson.
Like, who was better, him or Peanuts?
Peanuts had the best winning percentage in Oilers history.
Who was better, Hitchcock or Knob Gobbler?
Boy, they've been through a lot, eh? Holy Tippett. Ralph Kruger. Who else they have in there? Dallas Aikens.
Glenn
survived all this, eh? Running that power play. He's the key to it.
He's the key to all their success, eh?
Yeah.
Fuck, we should have never let him go. Imagine he was running our power play.
Be flying. Hey, at this point, can we get Jeff Ward back to run the power play? Holy shit. That's how dire straits we're in.
Seriously, though. I don't know. Lindholm, how long is it going to be?
Dude, he wants out. Like, he's always, obviously he wants out, right? We've been saying this ever since his buddies left, and they are like in this. I don't know what more evidence you need when the team offers you $9.5 million and you turn it down.
I mean, what were we saying? Connie's got to give himself to Christmas break. Look, you're still mid.
You're still forever
mid. The last time we recorded, we've gone 2-2-2.
You can't be locking guys up because you're like maybe gonna make the last wild card spot.
No, look at Nashville. They're ahead of you.
Yeah,
they're ahead of you right now in the playoffs.
Nashville not only almost made the playoffs last year, they look like they're gonna make the playoffs this year. And do you think they'd be better off if they had like kept Ekholm and kept Tanner Janot and like turned down all those big trade offers that they got for some of those guys? The thing, okay, like this is, I think this is a good point. I'm kind of bringing this up randomly, but I think the best thing that's happened this year has been like the youth coming up and playing well. But I think what that has done in the broader sense of things has like, I think shown the fan base and hopefully shown the management that like, there's actually some really good young pieces here.
Yeah.
And that you could turn this around faster than you maybe had thought.
It gives you a clear vision.
Yeah, like I didn't expect it. Like I like Connor Zary, but like I didn't expect that he was going to be this much of an impact maker this soon, right?
He's fucking really good. He's a really good hockey player.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, holy shit. Maybe like our prospect pool, like, hey, it's not half bad when you count in. We've got guys like Poirier, and if Pospisil is a bit of a player, and you got Pelche, and you know, like. This could be something that we could turn around soon. You still need a lot more blue chip guys, but good players around. Like you could build this up if you're smart about it. And I think that's been encouraging. And I'm hoping that's what the team's seeing. And you don't have to go down this road. Yeah, Wolf's obviously. You don't have to go down this road of like signing some of these older guys. You don't have to do that because what you have here in terms of young players is probably sufficient to keep you at a level where you're still going to be competitive anyways. I think obviously if you take like a Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin out of the equation, that changes pretty fast. But, you know, broader point remaining that you don't have to keep all of these guys.
Well, it's been interesting watching that blue line respond to Tanev's injury. And obviously as a whole there, but they've gotten better the more games they play.
Well, Uyghur's been good. Anderson's been kind of up and down this season, but Hanifin has really turned it on lately.
Uyghur's second in defensive.
Yeah. He's got 8 goals.
Most goals. in the league.
Imagine if Huberto was even a 70-point player, how much better that trade would look. Like, holy shit.
Imagine if Huberto made your power play good. Not great. Not just very good. Just good. Just good. Is that too much to ask for? Just good? I could ask for more. I would like to ask for more. I just don't feel like I can ask for more. It's going to be eternally frustrating watching that thing, man.
Yeah,
but
it's going to be
but
bad.
Hey, I mean, if that's the catalyst that forces us to miss the playoff, that forces us to sell, that forces us, like,
Mark Savard's doing us a favor, man. He's playing 3D chess.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think Lindholm would be, obviously, I think he's going to get traded. I think he's the one guy that for sure, like, dude, 100% is going to get traded.
I would cheer the fuck out of him for the Avs.
Dude, the Avs, I already like the Avs because they got Makar. They're going up against the Oilers. He's exactly what they need. They haven't replaced Kadri. Like, they tried Ryan Johansson. He hasn't really been that guy. They tried a few other guys. He's like the exact player they need. And they can fit him in. Like,
oh, he'll re-sign there. No, fuck, he'll love it there.
And even if he didn't want to re-sign there, like, there's tons of teams who I think would be lining up anyways. Obviously, he kind of fucked up. I mean, if it's not where you want to be, though, like, everyone's like, oh, he fucked up not taking $72 million. But if you don't want to be somewhere.
Dude, no. If you turn down $70 million, go play for the Avs and you get a chance to win a cup.
You get a cup, yeah.
Or three cups in the next 3 years. So worth it.
And the thing with Lindholm is, like, even though he's been really bad this year and you'd think, oh, his value is really low. Like, the fact that he makes so little money makes him, like, I think the contenders in the league should be and will be lining up to try and get this guy.
Well, especially if you're going to retain.
If you retained half his salary prorated at the trade deadline, that's like less than a million. You're getting Lindholm for like less than $1 million. It's insane. Any team could fit him in. So I think there's going to be a ton of interest. I think Colorado would be a very good spot for him. I think he'd love it there. I think he's exactly what they need. And Colorado has all their first round picks. They've got some nice young players. I think that'd be a good trade partner.
Do you think there's, as a GM, would you prefer to not trade to a contender? Because then you might get a later draft pick.
Well, I think that might come into play obviously, you know, like, oh, we get 30th. It's like we get 29th, 30th pick overall. I think that's why you'd probably be looking for a really good prospect as well.
Yeah.
I think that maybe comes into play a bit more with, like, maybe if you're trading Hanifin. Because I think Lindholm, like...
Dude, Hanifin is... this is the best I've ever seen him as a Flame.
Yeah.
His, like, his dumb hockey is... He doesn't make as many dumb moves, mistakes. It's like Darryl cleaned up his game. Did you hear Zadorov's interview?
Yeah, that was great.
I don't know what was that on.
It was on John Scott's podcast. Dropping the gloves. That was called dropping the gloves. I think.
Was he the enforcer that went to the All-Star game?
Yeah.
But dude, Darryl Zadorov basically says.
Well, he didn't basically. He said it.
Darryl taught him how to play defense. What he did say is that he wishes he had Darryl as a coach as an 18-year-old, meaning he taught me how to play fucking defense, and I'm good now. Thanks.
Well, look at how many players improved incredibly under Darryl defensively. Hanifin, for sure. Zadorov, for sure. That's why I think I was annoyed with the trade. Because, like, I think that's followed him, is him, like, what he was when he came to Calgary. And everyone's like, oh, well, we got a third-round pick, which is what we gave up to get him. Well, when you got him, he was kind of an unknown, kind of a guy who was a bit of a mess. And he's been in Calgary for two years only. And now he's actually, I think, a really solid defender. So I think I was like, well, you should get more because, like, he's a known quantity now. But
yeah, he's not the same player as when you were.
Yeah, he's a much better player. But I think, yeah, Hanifin for sure has turned into a much better player after those 2 years under Darryl, like, much better. And, I mean, playing with a guy like Chris Tanev sure helps, learning from him. But I think if you're looking at draft picks, like, I'd be more worried about that in a Hanifin trade because, like, I think you'd probably be getting more back. Like, in the Lindholm deal, I don't know who – I don't know what mid-range team is going to be looking for, like, kind of a rental UFA. I feel like a Hanifin trade would probably be more likely to be, like, a possible sign-in trade where the team who gets him, like, kind of like a Chychrun trade when Ottawa got him. It's like, this is more of a long-term add, whereas Lindholm's probably going to be a pure rental, so
I could see the Flames sign, the market. I could also see the Flames keeping Hanifin.
I could too, and I think we said this at the beginning of the year, was like, of all the guys, if you wanted to lock one up, Hanifin would be the guy who would make sense.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think at that number that we heard where he's like making Devontae's money, I think that's still a bit crazy.
No.
But he's 26.
That's where Daryl's got to get ahead of it. If he's expecting that type of money, then you deal him.
Yeah.
Or so, not. Did I say Daryl is like Craig?
Yeah, Craig. He'd be a guy. Yeah, he's still 26. He's probably going to age pretty well with his skill set. I wouldn't mind. I think if it were me, I'd be going in a different direction where I'm like, he's at his peak value. You could get a shit ton for him. Do it. But if they traded some other everybody else and kept him, I wouldn't be like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. So, oh man, okay. Story.
Like, I mean, you're kind of getting to a point with some other defensemen. Like, I think Anderson's going to be up soon. Like, you're going to have to make a decision if you want to keep him long term. So, I don't know how many defensemen you want signed or into the future when you've got Uyghur, but you do need players at the end of the day. So,
yeah. The Flames go 2-2-2 since the last time we recorded. And this is forever mid, man. Like, you posted this today.
I post this every once in a while. I don't know why I was thinking about this. Why was I doing this? Oh, because the projected standings from the Athletic were out today updated, and it's like Flames are projected to finish like 17th. Yep.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
About right. It's as usual.
And then you pull up the
stat winning percentage for the last since 1990. Like, there we are, 16th overall.
Jeez, 30 years, huh? Since winning the cup, we've been almost good.
Almost good.
Just so mid, in and out of the playoffs. Then you got the Oilers.
28th.
No, past 30 years winning percentage.
Just crazy.
Just gifted the fucking second greatest hockey player of all time. That's why, like, people,
you know what?
I don't.
I'm going to put him like third behind, like, I think until he wins anything, Sid is still better than Connor. I'm going to put that out there.
Yes. But if we're talking just flat out skill wise.
Yeah.
This is why I don't get why people don't understand the hate.
Everyone hates him. He's a dipshit and they don't deserve it.
Or the Oilers fans, rent free. She's like, yeah, well, no, it's just, I hate Connor McDavid and I hate you. Just hate.
Sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place, but
I don't think about him while I'm going to sleep, and I don't think about him when I'm getting up, and I don't think about this and this. I just fucking, when I think about hockey, I think about the Flames, I fucking think about him and I fucking hate him. So there. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I hate him too, so much. And I hate, it's so, people always post like, Rogers, Edmonton is a total shithole. Like, I've been to the Saddledome a lot in my life, and I've never seen a, like, I don't know if,
dude,
like, I've never seen a fight there ever when I've been
never,
there.
No.
Like, maybe some confrontations, like, one time, but like, after every Oilers game, like, somebody's posting, like, today in the bleacher, in the nosebleeds at Rogers, and it's like, just these, the most, like, trailer trash humans you've ever seen, just like beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it's like one step up from Walmart, dude.
I think Walmart's a step up, to be honest. It's insane. It's like every game that is like, oh yeah, five fights broke out on the concourse at Rogers Center. Just like these sweatpant wearing fat pigs beating the crap out of each other.
All wearing the same jersey as well. Yeah, that's like, that's always what gets me, is the funniest thing. Because usually when you see fan fights, it's like one jersey and another jersey, and then it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, like you see them in like MSG where it's like, yeah, Rangers guy and Islanders fan.
Yeah. In this case, it's always fans of the same team that want to kill each other.
So always. Stupid. I just wanted to say something about Mangiapane too, because I was like, if he leads the team in high danger scoring chances at 5-on-5, and he's third in 5-on-5 points. So again, if the power play was even like remotely good, I think he's suffering from the power play being so terrible as well. So
I know we talked about Huberto and what we think he needs. Should we be talking about how to get a creative way out of this contract? Like, is that where the focus should
somebody shift? The Flames should hire somebody to be trying to figure that out, because whatever the solution is, this is why I say like a Gaudreau for Huberto swap has to happen, because to me that's the most creative and feasible way to get out of this is to and you should have jumped, maybe tried to jump on already. I think it's pretty unrealistic, but like in the realm of possibilities, it seems to be the most realistic, because you can't buy him out. You can't. Who the fuck is ever going to trade for this guy unless you're sending something equally or even kind of equally as terrible back? Well,
that's the only way. Yeah.
So that's really it. Like, you can't buy him out. And you can't. No one's going to trade for him. And even if there was a trade in place, he has full control. So, like, he could say no.
I think what you got to do is you got to find Marian Hossa's old equipment, and
that's the only way.
Just make him wear it.
Didn't Jared? Hope. Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, I don't know, man. Mike Smith faked his season,
his LTIR ending. Yeah.
Just, I
don't know. He's got to go on IR it's too early. He's got a tummy ache forever. Yeah. He's got a 7-year tummy ache. Just at this point, just pay him and like send him to Florida.
Well, what was the size of Parise and Suter's contract?
Well, that's what's messed up is that, you know, you look at some of these deals in context and it's like, well, teams have dealt with, and I've said this before too, it's like, well, teams deal with bad contracts too, but it's like when it's year one and it's this bad, you know, when it's like, this is the first year. Like, you look at Parise was a great player for Minnesota for like four or five years. I think he played. I think he played there throughout the, like, almost played that contract through to the end. And if you look at Minnesota's, like, if you look at how that buyout works, like, it's a few years of shit, but then they're out of it finally. Like, if the Flames were to buy a Huberto out, you don't save any money, and it like lasts forever. So. Like, I think Minnesota is paying those two guys a combined $14.7 million against their cap this year and next year.
Cool.
And then it drops down to a combined $1.6 million. So two more years of like huge penalty, but then it's over. Yeah,
that's brutal. That's brutal though, man. 2 years is a long time in the sport.
But dude, like, you're like, okay, they're paying $14.7 million in dead money. We're paying $10.5 million in dead money.
Yeah, we're playing the guy, Renate.
For 8 more years, not 2.
But that counts against their cap?
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, if they're having a negative impact, at what point do you pull the plug?
Yeah, I think if I'm the Flames, I'm hiring somebody full-time on creative contracts.
You need a full-time shrink.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too.
Somebody that falls around all day, you're awesome. You're amazing.
Yeah, he's already like that, though. I don't know.
He's in the line at Tim Hortons. Huberto, you're the best.
You haven't seen nothing yet. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's a trade to be had out there sometime in the future. Like, I think what you hope for now is, like, he does have... Obviously, Erik Karlsson never got to this low. But, like, one point it was like, oh, yeah, the Karlsson contract is untradeable. And then he had that incredible year again, and he was traded for... full salary. So you're just kind of like probably hoping and praying something like that happens. Or you have a somebody who has an equally bad contract. Or when the next CBA is up, you hope that maybe there's a provision for, like they had back in the day, like every team gets like one compliance buyout where you can just buy somebody out and get rid of them.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
I don't think it's – I think we're stuck with this guy.
What do you foresee – I mean, what? We're past a quarter mark into the season. We're getting close to the halfway mark. What do you see happening with this current roster, just the way they're performing? Because we're playing exciting. The games are exciting.
Oh yeah, those games. Like, I mean, it's kind of shitty when you're blowing leads like that. But I mean, those are perfect tank games. Like,
you're up 5-3. You score what, 4 goals in the second period against the Avalanche. You know, I obviously doubled down on the Avalanche. They would win that game and cashed out. But it's exciting. And even they come from behind, tied up in Vegas, go to OT, force OT, can't pull it off. They go to a shootout in Minnesota, and they get the world's worst
shooter in the shootout.
World's worst contract in the shootout in third spot and doesn't work out. Then they beat the Bolts and the Panthers.
Two really solid efforts. I mean, Markstrom pretty much beat the Panthers, but
yeah, but I don't even care. I don't care how you do it. You have players playing hockey well, and that's always enjoyable to watch.
Well, that's what's insane is like everybody's playing well outside of
Hero.
One guy. I mean,
Dubé.
Some of your role guys aren't doing a great job, but I mean, it's pretty much across the board. Everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing, except one guy.
So I don't know. What do you see
like,
happening?
Like, just, even Vladar had some good game. Like, he's been better of late too.
What's your prediction? Like, that we just stay mid?
I think we're gonna stay there, man. Like, I don't see why we won't. Like, you look at the teams around us.
Let me ask, Seattle's been
super underwhelming.
Let me ask you this. This is probably a two-part question. One, though, does this team make the playoffs?
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay. Second part to that question. If the Oilers don't turn it around, do they make the playoffs? If the Oilers are out of the playoff race, does Calgary take the final playoff spot?
That's a bit more interesting.
And I don't want to hear any ifs. I want to hear an actual prediction. Do you think if the Oilers stumble and fumble from here on out and they can't dig themselves out of that massive hole they started the season of, and we don't have to compete with them, we don't even have to, right? There's other teams you got to beat out.
I feel like the fact that we're probably going to trade Tanev too, I'm taking that into consideration. I feel like the Wild, the Coyotes, maybe even the Kraken are like probably better than us. Nashville, not so sure about them, but they've got such a head start that it might be kind of hard to catch them. I'm still going to say no. I still can't see us overtaking like two teams to get in. So I'm still going to say no. I think they're going to finish like ninth or 10th in the conference.
And then give me your prediction of the remaining pending UFAs. Who, if any, will be a Flame at the end of the season?
Well, Lindholm's going to be traded. I think that's like almost 100%. Like, obviously, never 100%, but it seems like it's going in that direction. Tanev is probably more like 80%. I don't know. Like, you know what? Even with Tanev, but he can't turn down what somebody's probably going to offer for him. Is the thing. Like, I wouldn't even be so upset if they're like, oh yeah, we're going to keep him. So I think Lindholm and Tanev for sure. Hanifin's probably like 50-50. It probably depends on Hanifin more than the team at this point.
Yep, 100%. Well, it depends on all the players. If you go to Tanev and you're like, hey, well, what do you think? Get me out of here.
Yeah, like okay. I've heard the Tanev wouldn't mind staying, but like, if somebody comes to you and is like, hey, do you want a second and a third?
Fucking wouldn't. Someone puts their heart and soul in line, and you know, they're just like,
yeah.
They're reliable, they're dependable.
Just a Wednesday night game. Yeah, I think I'm gonna block this slap shot with my face. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Chris, this game's meaningless.
Chris, you guys are out of a playoff spot. You're not gonna
And like listen, I think there is something to keeping. Like, that's why I was maybe like, I don't mind if they wanted to sign Zadorov longer term if they're going through a rebuild. I think there is something to having guys like that around.
Yep.
Because I think that's the other thing I'm seeing right now is like, this is a good place for Zary to be when it's like he's with like the young guys, to be with guys like Kadri and Coleman and these guys.
That's why Chicago got Foligno.
Exactly. Like you watch Kadri in that game against the Panthers where he was just like, he was like going at it with like he was a monster. Like that's good for the young guys to play with guys like that. So, and you've seen the exact opposite happen in Edmonton for years where they're just like, give these young players, oh yeah, go out there, just play. And we're not going to bring in any veterans and nobody's going to be held accountable for jack shit. Like there is something to that. So I don't mind having guys like character guys like Chris Tanev around, but, given that somebody is so sought after.
Yeah, he's so prone to injury. He's
at the
high risk. He's high risk to keep.
Like you can't not.
Yeah. High risk and mid reward to keep at this point.
Hey, what's the upside? He's a good character guy for some young players to play with the next 3 years.
He's at the end of a shelf life. The injury, he's going to be more injury.
And you want to see that guy win. Like
exactly.
Imagine him going to somewhere and like winning a cup. That'd be sweet.
Okay, where do you think Lindholm goes?
Colorado makes so much sense.
So much sense. You can even see him in the uniform. Like it's slam dunk. Where do you think Tanev goes?
He's a big Forsberg guy.
That'd be sweet if Tanev went to Dallas.
See Tanev going to Dallas. There's no way Brad's going to pony up and pay what he needs to for Tanev.
Brad can't.
He won't.
He'll be in on it till the last minute, though, won't he?
Yeah, he'll finish second for sure. I could see like Vegas even being in on Tanev.
Dude, Vegas would be fucking money to get Tanev.
Yeah, Dallas or Vegas. Maybe New Jersey. I know that's what I think Elliot was saying, New Jersey too. In his stupid roundabout. Some people believe that Brad Schuiling was sucking dicks in Boston Pizza last night. Then I had somebody else tell me that that wasn't the case. So
no, it was just a breadstick under the table.
It's just what some people believe. So
you know where's
a sneaky place I think Lindholm actually might be a good fit is Carolina.
Wow.
They need finishers over there. Like they play that same way the Flames played last year, like lots of shots. They can't score goals very well. I know Svechnikov's back now, but they need guys who can finish, and Lindholm can do that. So
can he?
He did if you give him two elite line mates,
feeding him all fucking night long, yeah, he finishes.
Yeah, but Colorado makes a lot of sense.
He's gonna score 50, eh, Huberto? Well, it's too bad you only
he's going
passed
to score
to the
most
other...
goals with me.
It's too bad he only passed to their team skates, Huberto.
We need I don't know if ESPN ever does like those is it 30 for 30 or whatever? They do like those like mini docs. They need to do one on the Flames last year. There's so many things I need to know. Like there's so many things. Like why did Lindholm and Huberto, what's the deal there? Something weird is there. What's up with that?
Huberto probably tried to fill him up in the shower or something. Just beating a dead horse, eh?
Yeah,
you have not seen
French,
nothing yet.
I guess you have not seen nothing yet, Elias.
You have not felt nothing yet.
Oh, that's good. Hanifin, where would Hanifin go if he went? Probably Florida, maybe. Like he's buddies with Chucky. I don't want Bill Zito bending us over again, though. So he's a Boston guy. Could he go to Boston? Maybe.
I don't know. I think the Flames are going to keep him, dude. Well, he's going
to
want
to
go.
Here, you know what? Here's the guy who's interesting to me.
Hanifin to the Rangers, bro. Call it.
Yeah, like that. Here's a guy who's interesting to me is Markstrom. Because, I think Jamie McLennan was talking about this today. It was like, I think he was going nuts. He was like, oh, Markstrom or Tank could get like two firsts and a bunch of prospects. I was like, I don't think so. But it does feel like the pendulum has kind of swung with some of these teams from like the tandem cheap netminding. Which is weird because like Aiden Hill just led the Knights to the Stanley Cup, right? But you're looking at teams like Carolina and the Oilers and like even New Jersey. It's like some of these teams are like, fucking, we just get a number one goalie in here who makes some saves.
100%.
Like I think even a team like Detroit would be interested in somebody like Markstrom.
Big
you know, time. I think the Flames should be taking advantage of his bounce back season. And if they would retain money on that, I think a lot of teams would be super interested. And obviously, Markstrom has a no move, so he control it. But he's the one guy I'm kind of like interested in. Like, if there would be a deal to be made there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very well put. All right. Well, I don't know, man. There's not much more to discuss. We're just kind of sitting back and enjoying watching.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to not come on. Like, obviously, I'm pissed about the power play, and Huberto's annoying, but it's like,
well, there's nothing at stake anymore. Really.
It's a lot different than like getting on here, losing my mind about Jeff Ward being an idiot.
Fuck, was he terrible, dude?
Boo.
Handball. I mean, that's what they need. Need some handball action.
Yeah, the handball in practice. Get the music pumping. So you got the Ducks and the Kings before the Christmas break. And then what is this weird fucking, they got
like a whole week off with one game in the middle.
Yeah, what is that? Why wouldn't you just get your mandated CBA 5 days off there? Weird. I guess everybody gets a Christmas break. Eh? Except for the NBA players. They'll be playing.
They'll be playing because the NBA knows how to run their business properly.
Well, you got two more games till the Christmas break. I know we were talking that that's probably a real measuring stick of where you're at that point. So what are we're currently one game under 500. So the best you can be at Christmas is a 500 team. Not necessarily where this team was projected out the gate, I don't think.
I think for fan base, maybe.
But management, but not far off. Yeah, not far off, though, from where they're projected to be. So, but, you know, with all that said, you're still 5 points out of.
Yeah, again, don't be fooled by the fact you're out of. You're 3 points out of a playoff spot because you're like 5 points out of last.
Well, and don't be fooled that you're 3 points out of a playoff spot when you're not better than Arizona, Nashville, and St. Louis for that wild card spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Minnesota's right there and Seattle's right there.
Yeah.
And you're being carried by a 22-year-old.
Like literally you are. Anyways, I just hope that, you know, we've touched on it. That coming into the season, Craig has made a commitment to youth. It's worked. It's the only thing that's worked. It's the only thing creating excitement. It's the only thing putting butts in seats and eyeballs on the television.
It's the only thing making me watch games.
It's the only thing giving me hope. It's the only clear direction I can see. So let's just hope from what we've seen so far that Craig continues to invest in his commitment. And like you said, maybe there's some actual legitimate prospects in our pool here, and maybe we can do a bit of a short rebuild.
And we can add to them if we nail some trades at the deadline.
And Huberto gets hit by a bus.
Dropped it off. Sharangovich, Hanifin, he'll work it down the near side now. Cuts him behind. In front with the pass, they score! Sharangovich! Beautiful setup by Noah Hanifin. Lights break out, three of them through center. They have numbers over the line. Here's Sharangovich with a shot. Scores! Yegor Sharangovich sneaks it through with 2:02 left in the period. Flames back on top. Cadre back to Hanifin. Shoots the score! Deflected by Sharangovich with 59.3 to go. And the Flames have tied it up at four. Pass in front, they score! Bunted in on the back door. Sharangovich, another goal. They were able to block that chance. Sharangovich gets it back. Pullman in front. Turns to the point, they score! Bounced in off a defender. Vasilevsky saw that coming through. Another chance, Sharangovich scores! Yegor Sharangovich stays right on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.